what's great about Bob Kessler, Wendy? Well, there's many things. I mean, do we need to make a list of all the things that are great about Kessler? I don't think there's enough time. Before the show, when Bob fills in, he makes it a point. He comes downstairs and he wants to know how everything is. What's going on? What do we need to know about today's show? How's Wendy doing? What are we going to talk about?
You did that, Bob?
Yeah.
I did, Wendy.
Because I was actually earlier than usual today.
Oh, he comes
in
hours
before. I did that around 9:30.
Yeah, 9:30.
Oh, I missed you by about 6 minutes.
I wanted to pet the cute dog in the studio.
I did, too.
For people who don't know, I dress like a dog before the show.
Oh, you're so weird.
My nickname for
I always do that. But nice of you to do, Bob. That's above and beyond the call of duty.
My pleasure.
Better than Bertrand.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He's got a hacky sack ball out in front of the studio until it's showtime. He doesn't care.
Is he on a Steve Bertrand travel trip again? He's never here.
Been around lately.
Yeah. He might have. I had the flu last week. I was supposed to be on the show last week.
Yeah, you were supposed to fill in last week for Steve.
And maybe Steve has it.
Why is everybody sick?
I don't know. You and I have built up incredible immunities to every kind of disease, but most of the rest of the WGN staff is on sick leave.
You made a connection. I don't know if you want to reveal that on the air.
What is it?
Ever since something happened here, everybody's been getting sick.
Well, I wouldn't say it on air, but I noticed when John Williams came back, everybody gets sick. But I'm not going to say that on the air. I don't want to accuse John.
He brought back the Minnesota flu.
That's what it is. Everyone's got the Minnesota flu.
Rocking pneumonia and the Minnesota flu.
That's what it is. Hey, I hope we don't play, and when I say we, I mean the rest of the Chicago Blackhawks and us. I hope we don't play the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup.
Listen, I thought about that long and hard, and I watched a lot of people criticize our Chicago Blackhawks. They didn't show up. It appeared that way. You know what? They're already in it.
To win it.
Yeah, but they weren't because they don't want injuries.
Right. So are they going to play soft for the next few weeks? I hope not. I hope they don't.
No.
During the course of a season, you're going to have a clunker game or two. They decided to have all their clunker games against the Florida Panthers in that one night.
You're absolutely right. They combined it all, but see, now it's out of the way.
Right. Late in the second period, it was 3-0. And I watched it, and I wasn't happy with what I was saying. 3-0.
Did you get happier?
No. I turned the channel. I'm flipping around, and like a minute later, it was 7. It went from 3-0 to 7-0 in like a minute.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, seriously, if you won the lottery, would you run to your 7-Eleven to buy another lottery ticket? Mm-hmm. You'd take it easy. You wouldn't want to injure yourself going to 7-Eleven.
Right. Some of the players are a little brittle. It's been a long, hard season, so...
You got to save yourself, man.
Right, right.
We'll see what happens tonight, and then I might change my point of view tomorrow. It's not going to happen.
You won't see another game like this.
Ever.
This is the worst... I'm trying to remember. I heard somebody say on one of the sports channels that it was their worst loss in like 16 years or something like that. The Blackhawks don't lose a lot of games 7-0.
I think it was since 2011.
Oh, is that right?
I think so.
Oh, that's not that long ago. That wasn't Florida, was it?
I
would like them to get kicked out of the NHL.
You know what it is
to
me?
Bill,
there, I
said
it.
They're going to Florida. You know, spring breakers are there. Maybe they were disturbed on... I guess they have a private plane. Never mind.
Can I tell you something about Florida? It's so humid there. The ice at the stadium was melted halfway through the first period. You couldn't even skate on it.
That's the problem.
That's what the problem is down there.
They should have done swim hockey.
Right. And there's palmetto bugs. There's those flying cockroach bugs all over Florida.
Which you can mistake for a puck, actually, because they're that big.
They scared Artemi Panarin. He thought they were going to swoop him up and fly off with him.
He's so little.
He's just a little guy. I have to tell you, my daughter told me about a job, a profession that exists in New York. She's been in all this week on spring break. So she and I were talking about something about New York, and she said that she knows people who earn their money by doing something in New York that I didn't even know. I don't think you could get away with that in Chicago. I think this is a strictly New York thing. Here's what they do. Now, I say for a living, I think you'd have to supplement your income other ways. I don't think you could survive just on this job alone. But there are people in New York who are called liners, L-I-N-E-R-S. There's an app where you type in where you are and approximately how long the line is, and these people come and they stand in line for you, and then you pay them. It's kind of like it's like an Uber or Lyft, except just for standing in line. Because some of the lines at grocery stores or she talked about pop-up stores. Like, I guess the Kardashians every once in a while just have a pop-up store that sells Kardashian-related apparel. And the line gets so long, like an hour and a half long.
Who's in that line?
I don't know.
I would like to see the people in that line.
That's a good question.
Now, I know are long for, like, when Michael Jordan used to release new gym shoes,
right.
There'd be a line, new Apple stuff.
Right.
Concerts, Lollapalooza tickets that sell out in 30 seconds.
Broadway shows.
Something like that makes sense. But just going to buy something at the Kardashian pop-up?
So you type in where you are, what time it is, and approximately how long the line is, and somebody shows up, much like an Uber, and they just stand there, and you go about your business. You do the rest of your life, and then you come back. That person texts you.
You're third away. You know, right. You're three away, so hurry up.
Yeah.
How much do you get for doing that?
She said, ready? $40 an hour.
Well,
$40 an hour to just stand in line.
All right, but think about it. If you had to wait in line for an hour for something, wouldn't you be miserable that whole hour and be cursing yourself? I can't believe I'm doing this.
I'd be miserable, but has it come now to a point in life where we can say proudly, yeah, I wanted to save an hour, so I handed a stranger $40 so he could just stand in
time
line
is
at
money.
Whole Foods for me, so I didn't have to stand in line for an hour.
But see, it's not Whole Foods, because it wouldn't be
no,
an
one
hour.
Of the places she mentioned was Whole Foods. There's a Whole Foods like in a very, very busy part of New York City where your standard waiting time is somewhere between a half an hour and an hour.
Are
so you
kidding?
Hire a guy to stand there for you at Whole Foods. I don't know if that's... I can't decide if it's brilliant or ridiculous.
It's brilliant. I mean, time is money these days, Bill.
I guess it is.
I would like to hire someone to stay on hold when you have a question with your cable company or something,
right.
Insurance, and you're on hold. Your waiting time will be approximately 1 hour and 22 seconds.
Yeah.
What?
So then you hire a kid to just be on hold.
Yeah, but see, I wouldn't trust that kid because that kid would hang up. Like, he'd get bored, and the minute before they're going to pick me up on the phone, he hangs up. Like, what if this guy takes your $40 and then walks out of the line?
You pay him. I mean, it's all done, you know, it's e-payment. You're doing it online. So once the transaction is complete,
okay.
That's when the money's transferred.
I trust no one. I really don't.
You shouldn't. All right. If you want to jump in on this or anything else during today's show, give us a call. We're at 312-981-7200. A lot coming up. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
You were talking about a new occupation that's going on.
Yes, in New York City, apparently. My daughter Kylie is in. She goes to school there. She's in for spring break, and she was telling us about these people who earn $40 an hour. $40 an hour to just stand in line. You're kind of a surrogate line filler.
Did she tell you... trying to get your opinion because she does it?
No, she doesn't. I asked her if she does it, but she does not do it.
Because if she did it, you would say, honey, that's a smart way
right.
to make
making,
$40.
You're making decent money to just stand there, to just occasionally move up every couple of minutes to move up a few inches. But she's not doing that, no.
Five lines a day?
Right.
$200
Yeah, that's easy money, right? Yep. No, she's not currently doing that. She's studying to do that. That's what her major is. She's a line
Line waiting?
Yes. Yes.
Line
we're very
waiting
proud
101. That's what she's
we're
in.
We're so proud of her.
All right. Well, Ted has a comment about this. Hello, Ted.
Hey. Hi, guys. That would be some diploma, I would have to say, Bill. I just couldn't wait for that graduation to come around.
I wouldn't actually go. I would have somebody fill my seat and sit during the ceremony. But that's neither here nor there. What do you think of this?
There's a whole bunch of people that are there that are completely uninterested until it's time for the person to come up and then everybody rushes in the door, right?
Yep. Yep. Could that work here, do you think, Ted? Is there any way we would do that in Chicago, do you think?
Well, here's what I thought, is that would work in Chicago until one of two things happen, or maybe both. Is one, somebody would figure, the union would figure out, hey,
right.
There's something to be done here. And number two, the city of Chicago would be like, hey, we're broke, we need money.
They would want to tax it somehow, wouldn't they?
We got to get a permit on this, and you better have that card with you because the meter maid's coming around, and we'll be checking everything, you know?
Yep.
Who's going to wait in line for the permit? That's what I want to know.
Excellent question. Ted, well thought out. Thanks so much for the call.
You bet. Have a great one, guys.
Okay, you too. Thanks. Bye.
I'm kind of excited for our next guest. Can I tell you that right now?
Well, you should be.
I absolutely adore The Walking Dead. There's only one more episode left for this season.
Which they told us at the end of last night is an elongated episode, which I'm fine with. double it, triple it, make it as long as you want. I'm in.
I would like a whole season's length of the final one.
All right.
I didn't want it to episode? Be over last night.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to talk to the guy who plays Jesus.
Tom Payne.
And he is a really sweet person. I know you follow in the footsteps of Jesus and you try to be nice and cooperative.
Yes. His character would not be called that if he didn't do that.
He's got the long hair. Mm-hmm. It's very Jesus-like, but the main Jesus-like moment in last night's episode is when he was kind of holding a gun in someone's face and said, you know, drop the gun, please.
Yes.
Wasn't that sweet?
You have to be polite when you're forcing somebody to do something against their will and you have a gun on them. Politeness counts, Wendy.
Most people don't do the please and thank yous.
Right. That's lost on today's gunmen. Why can't today's gunman be like the gunman of old and just be a little more polite? Huh?
I try to use please as much as possible.
Sure.
My kids, when they were in preschool, they, before lunch, their little so-called grace, because they didn't want to get too religious at school, it was please and thank you are the words we say when we eat together every day.
And that's the shortened version of grace?
That's what they did, yeah. Because, you know.
We had a shortened version, may I?
Yes.
God's neat, let's eat. That was the version that we used to say.
You went
before.
To a Catholic school?
Yes.
That's what they did?
Well, it started out in it was the Bless Us, O Lord one in the first few years. But then by the time we got to fifth or sixth grade, everyone's like, we got to streamline this. There's not enough time. So it became God's neat, let's eat. And the teachers seemed to be okay with it. They would not. Okay. Well, that's a prayer. It's a shorter prayer, but it was a prayer.
And God is neat.
And then we ate.
We never, what was Bless Us, O Lord? I don't know that
these
one.
These thy gifts which you're about to receive. See, even saying those words makes me think I'm about to have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. As I'm saying it, I look over like, Kev, where's my sandwich? I need a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Somewhere along the line, our family had an even shorter grace, because I don't know, bless us, O Lord. I don't know that
one.
Oh,
that was the standard. That was the blessing of the lunch.
The Snyders had their own standard, and we really said it before dinner every night. We thank the Heavenly Father for the food we eat today. Amen.
Oh, that's quick.
Quick to the
that's,
point.
Yeah.
A little longer than God's neat, let's eat, but not too long.
No, that's not bad. That's not bad. We didn't at home, there was no real prayer because we were of all different religions in my family.
Yeah, that's true.
But then once I started into Terry's family, yeah, there was a prayer almost at the beginning of every meal.
I like saying grace.
Yeah.
I like saying prayers. God yeah. forbid I need them.
Yeah. Well, Jesus will be by, and when I say that, I mean Tom Payne, who plays Jesus on Walking Dead very soon. You got to meet him in the green room very quickly.
Charming.
This is 2 days in a row we've had one of our favorite stars from Walking Dead on. Ross Marquand, who plays Aaron, was in on Friday. An incredibly nice guy, a very talented actor. And I have to admit, I've always liked his character, but last night, every time they showed him, I would say to somebody near me, we just had him on Friday, and they would always say, I don't care.
They do the same thing for me.
Yeah.
Although I just remembered I have to print up a picture of Jesus to sign for Dylan.
All right.
My son is the one who turned me on to The Walking Dead, and mm-hmm. I forgot, so I better get busy with that.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about grace and what you said before dinner, and we said it pretty much every night.
Lunch really, and dinner?
No.
Just the one. Just one meal. One
God
prayer
doesn't
per
need
day.
To bless our lunch because it's not as elaborate.
Right. Dinner needs a blessing.
Yeah. Hi, Lucille. How are you?
Hi. I'm calling because one day we had the priest over for dinner. It was my son's teacher in a Catholic high school. So he requested that my son say grace. So my son comes out with rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay, God.
What was the priest's reaction to this, may I ask?
He gave a small little smirk and said, thank you, Edward.
Right. It counts. It's still a prayer. It's a little creative.
Well, he was in high school at the time, and it was way back when, you know. So
very funny.
Anyway, yeah.
Thanks, Lucille.
I thought I'd share that. Bye.
Thank you so much.
That was not the Lucille from Walking Dead, by the way.
Oh, thank God.
Much more polite when on the phone.
Hi, Paula.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
Excellent. What's up?
I have another grace, table grace to offer up.
What would that be?
And it's good food, good meat, good Lord, let's eat.
I think I've heard that one, too.
I don't think I. Yeah, I think you can pull that off. I think that works. You're getting to the point of what you need to get to. I like it, Paula. Thank you.
All right. Bye bye.
Take care.
All right. Well, we will take a break and then we'll talk to actor Tom Payne. I'm curious why he's still in town.
I think just to seriously, it wrapped up. The Walker Stalker con wrapped up yesterday. But I think he's just flying out today and just wanted to promote the season finale
what
on
an
Sunday.
Awesome guy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll take a break. We'll do some news. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
Yeah, this sets the mood beautifully. You can't hear the song and not be creeped out. It's impossible. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And in studio with us right now is Tom Payne, who plays Jesus on The Walking Dead. And, Tom, I need to apologize to you. You're from England. You're not used to weather like this. So this is I'm sure this is very foreign to you, this rainy
this
weather.
This is perfect. This is very – I mean, I'm living in California actually now. But this actually feels a lot like
home. Does it feel like home? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you feel you have a lot to live up to play the part of Jesus? I know it's not really Jesus.
I mean, he's his own man. Like, he has his own thing. I mean, let's hear it for manners, like you were talking about earlier on.
Oh, my God, very that's nice. So funny. It's like, drop him, please.
No, he remembers things. He remembers how you should treat people. It's, you know, there's a thing that comes along with the show. The show has a certain thing that you're like, wow, okay, I have to respect that this is such a huge thing that I'm involved in and give it the respect that it deserves. It's a bizarre change in my life to be walking down the street and have people go, oh, it's Jesus, oh my God, it's Jesus. Which is hilarious. Like, never in my wildest dreams did I imagine that would happen. And I can't get away with it because I have the long hair and the beard. And even if you don't watch the show, you might tell me that I look like Jesus. So I can't, you know, it's an ongoing thing in my life now.
So when you're in a city that isn't Los Angeles, because in Los Angeles, they're used to seeing their favorite TV and movie stars all the time. But when you're in a city like this and you're walking down a street, it's got to be jarring for people to have seen you on TV last night and there you are.
Yeah, it's been a bit strange because I've lived in California for about 7 years now. And I've never been really recognized in America, like maybe once or twice for a movie I've done or something. And so that was a big change in my life, actually, to have people recognize me and call out my name in the street. And not just Jesus, actually. People that watch the show know the actors' names, which sometimes, you know, doesn't happen. You just get called by your character name. So that was a bit life change for me of like, oh, okay, people in America are going to know who I am now, and that's going to be a bit weird. And it's definitely, I spoke to the other actors, and it's like, it's worse. I mean, it's more frequent around the show when it's airing. But when the show's not airing, it dies down a little bit. But as I said, I'm pretty recognizable. So, I mean, this is my life for as long as they want me on the show, I guess.
Is the beard and the long hair that wasn't grown just to be Jesus?
I mean, it was grown.
It was.
Just to be Jesus. Yeah, because.
And now you're digging it.
Well, you know, it's just such a pain to have the. Like, I had a bunch of extensions the first year and a fake beard. And, you know, you
really?
Can't really move your face in the right way. And someone's always coming in and touching up the glue. And, you know, you're trying to, like, pretend to be someone. And then every 5 minutes, someone's coming in and reminding you you've got something glued to your face. So, and also, it's just. You just have to arrive earlier in the morning and leave later in the afternoon. But it's testament to the vision and the casting process that they have because, I mean, I had short hair and zero beard. And they write these scenes which are completely separate from the show, completely different character name and everything, and you don't even know what you're auditioning for. And I think they just know exactly what they want and they do a good job. And you have a little bit of background on the character, but not enough. So you really have to fall back on what comes naturally to you in how kind of you would do the scene. And I think that's how they managed to cast so well, because you can't help but be natural in the scene. And so it pulls out of you, you know, your qualities. And they just write those scenes with those qualities in mind that they need. And the casting department do an amazing job, and the scriptwriters, every single person that joins the show. Even so, Kari, who plays Ezekiel, is younger than he is in the comic books. In the comic books, he's like at least in his 50s. And Kari gets cast, and you go, oh, well, he's a bit younger. But then he turns up, and you go, oh, he's absolutely perfect.
Perfect.
Like, fits in amazingly. you know, I'm about a foot shorter than Jesus in the comic books, but I think my sensibility fits the character, and they just do a great, great job with that. Yeah.
Since you brought up casting, let's talk about the British connection. There are a lot of actors on Walking Dead that are British actors playing Americans.
There are a few, and there have been in the past. David Morrissey played the governor, was British. Andrew obviously is British. Andrew and I come from the same city in England, actually.
In Essex? Is that where you're from?
Bath. I was born in Essex and then grew up in the Southwest, and I'd worked with Andy before, so we knew each other.
How have you mastered the accent?
Well, like I said, I've lived in California for 7 years, so I'm surrounded by it. And also, to make my life a little bit easier, sometimes I do slip into an American accent because I hate being misunderstood. So when I'm like grocery shopping or ordering a drink in a bar, like I'll use my American accent just because it makes my life easier, and I hate repeating myself. So I'm used to that. But we have an accent coach as well who helps us. So then we have Lauren, Lenny James, who plays Morgan, and Danai, actually. Danai grew up in Zimbabwe.
Oh.
And was like educated in the British school system in Zimbabwe. So she has a kind of interesting hybrid accent as well. But yeah, I guess there are and have been a few Brits in the show.
Is there a word or phrase that you've had a hard time with making it sound American that the coaches had to say, we say it this way here, not that way?
There was one thing last year. Oh, schedule and schedule.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one. There's just a couple that you have to just check sometimes. Like, I know how to say it properly, but maybe not in American. Okay, all right, I need to go over that. There's a few words like that, vitamin and vitamin and,
oh, yeah.
and all those kinds of little changes. But also a lot of it's to do with rhythm of speech and cadence and how the dialogue flows. Like, if I go back to England, so the way that I just said that, if I go back to England, I won't say, if I was in... If I was saying that in British, I'd be like, oh God, I can't even remember now. Like, if I go back to England, so my British friends will pick me up immediately. Like, you know, you're going up at the end of your sentences.
Right.
You're not American. Like, and you just can't help it because you do it to be understood. Even when I'm using my British accent in America,
yeah.
I will slip into American rhythm just because it's just easier.
Sure.
And people, you know,
yeah.
I want to be like.
I do hate the repeating myself, though. At some point, you're just like, oh, forget
yeah,
it. You
yeah,
know?
It's kind of, it's annoying.
Talking about the comic book, you brought that up. My son Dylan is now 14. He was 10 when he said, you got to watch The Walking Dead. I'm like, really? I don't have time for zombies. It's more about zombies than just zombies, Mom. It's about relationships and survival.
Right.
And so we watch it as a family on Sunday nights. There's no talking. If someone talks, they get yelled at, and then we reverse it a little bit.
That's how I watch television.
Yeah, you can't talk.
No.
You can't. So he follows the comic book, and the plot has been following the comic book to a degree, not 100%.
They like to mix it up. So in the comic books, it was Abraham that got the arrow through his head, and in the comic books, Glenn was the only one to die, and then they put Abraham. So they do like to do that, and I read the comic books now as well, and I really enjoy that aspect of it because it means that the comic book readers can watch it as well, and they don't know exactly what's going to happen, and there are little Easter eggs that are dropped in here and there, and they like to change it up, which keeps it fresh and interesting and surprising for the comic book readers. Yeah.
Your story, we had Ross Marquand, I told you, in on Friday,
right.
Who plays Aaron. So his story was, from episode one, he was glued to the show. He never missed it. It was one of his favorite TV shows. But you're the exact opposite. You had never seen an episode, right, prior to being cast?
I had watched the pilot because I was friendly with Andrew Lincoln before. We worked together and we're from the same city. And actually, I had just done a job. I was on an HBO show called Luck years ago. And I had used a dialect coach on that. And she went from working with me to working with Andy for the pilot of Walking Dead. And so I was like, oh, hi, say hi to Andy. And who knew 7 years later I'd be on the show as well. So I watched the pilot. But then, no, I mean, I don't tend to watch a huge amount of TV, actually. But I caught up eventually because I was cast and on set like within a week. And it's like 7 years of TV show to watch and 150 comic books to read. So I just put my faith in Scott Gimple, who's the showrunner, my director of that episode, Kari, and Robert Kirkman, because also the character from the comic books is slightly different to the one in the show. And so I just had to go with what was on the page. But what made it difficult also is that the character that you meet in the first episode isn't really being himself either.
Mm-hmm.
He's like meeting Rick and Daryl and playing a bit of an act and So that was really tough. So I was kind of flying by the seat of my pants for that first episode. I'll freely admit. I was like, okay, guys, just, okay, you want me to run around this field? Okay, cool. Like, amazing. Just please, like, let me know if I'm doing anything wrong. Or,
yeah.
And I actually, like, partly by choice and partly by just not being offered anything, I hadn't worked in about a year before I started on the job. And my first day when I jump up in front of Rick and Daryl, I'm like, hey, and I was shouting a little bit because I was a little bit overexcited and hadn't been on camera for a bit. And I was like, hey, I'm And the director was like, Tom, just turn it down a little bit. I was like, God, what am I doing? I've been doing this job for a long time now. But I just got a bit excited.
Sure.
I was like, hey, I'm on this show, and this is Norman, and this is Andy, and I'm in the middle of Atlanta, Georgia. I did feel quite fake because I had the extensions in and the fake beard on. And
there's a lot going on.
Big coat, there was a lot going on. And so then I just forgot how to speak on camera.
Now, you say in Atlanta, where you guys film, there are a lot of fans that come up and look, and you guys are so awesome to your fans, seriously.
I think that's one of the most amazing things about the show. One of the best things about the show is that it really is, a Walking Dead family, and the fans are a big part of the show. And so I was just in Chicago for this Walker Stalker Fan Fest event, where we had 17,000 people came on Saturday, and I think 11 on Sunday, and
11,000 or just 11?
That would be 11,000.
That's 11, quite 000. A downturn.
Big drop off.
And it's amazing. Like, they come up and meet you and say hi, and I've hugged like thousands of people this weekend and signed a bunch of autographs, and we do Q&As and everything. And there aren't that many shows that do that. You can't be in contact with your favorite actors from your favorite show in that way. So it's an amazing thing, and it brings everyone closer together, and they really feel part of the whole experience. And we feel that they are as well. And we know, I mean, the show wouldn't be on if the audience wasn't watching it. So it's amazing that we have that opportunity to connect with fans in that way.
And Chris Hardwick does a great job with that,
amazing.
Talking Dead, because as a fan of a show, Bill, you know, you majored in film, you've been in some films yourself, and so to you, it's not that exciting maybe to see the directors. I love being able to see the showrunner and see it's seem so approachable. Chris Hardwick does a great job with that, where we all do feel part of the family.
Yeah, well, he's like geeks out as well.
Oh,
like,
totally.
He's a
big
fan
love
of
it.
The show, and so he loves it and loves meeting everyone. I don't think Chris can believe his luck nowadays. Like, he gets to do all this cool stuff with all these people that he loves from all his favorite TV shows. I love that as well. I love seeing behind the scenes. I'm a DVD extra kind of person. If I like a show or a movie, then I love seeing behind the scenes. And I watched The Talking Dead last night, and they have, you know, the behind the scenes little things that happened. And it's kind of funny now because I go, I knew that. I knew that before. And that's another really fun part of the show is, like, you know, we get the scripts before everyone else. And, like, there's 10 days per episode, including the weekend. So we don't have to, you know, wait the same amount of time, and we get the scripts. It's amazing.
Nice
Super
perk.
Exciting.
Tom Payne is here. He plays Jesus on Walking Dead. If you have a question or comment, we're at 312-981-7200. More in a moment. Bill and Wendy, WGN. You should play this every time your character makes an
exit. Absolutely. Extra. I'm always looking for new Jesus songs.
Doobie Brothers. Good one, Kevin.
Tom Payne is here. He plays Jesus on The Walking Dead on AMC's hit The Walking Dead. What do you make of what goes on the internet, all the speculation about every character, about every nuance on the show? Are you a fan of that or not a fan of that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big internet geek as well, so I love all the memes and pictures and fan art and everything that comes up. I think it's really great. It's another... you know, it shows how involved the fans are. It's another whole thing that exists outside of the show, which is amazing.
Yeah.
It is pretty incredible. I got to tell you, I thought you and Maggie were going to hook up, and then I realized that maybe you weren't into Maggie.
No. No. Well,
Spoiler alert.
As a friend.
Yeah, exactly.
But that was another thing. That is from the comic books, actually. And I had said in previous interviews before it was confirmed that, like, well, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be. And, you know, because, yeah, there isn't any reason why it wouldn't be. So that was so great how they handled that as well. It was just a moment where it was just a conversation that they were having, and it was just a way of him telling her something to reveal himself a bit more in deepening their friendship, you know, which was really nice. It wasn't like, hey, check me out, let's have a party.
You weren't beat over the head with it. It was just a common...
No, it's great.
See, that's what's so cool, is a show that can be so loud and blatant can also be so subtle anytime it wants to be.
Yeah. I mean, it needs those ups and downs and lights and darks to work. I know that some people have been frustrated with the way that Rick's been beaten down this season, and it's been quite a, you know, hard season in a lot of ways. But you need that. You know, they can't just go kick ass every episode. And I mean, they've been pretty much doing that for years now.
Yeah.
It's nice to have that power balance change, because that's real. That's much more real than them being superheroes going around winning all the time.
Right. You know? Right.
We needed to see Rick get broken down. I mean, at the beginning, it was like, you know, Rick's got all this together. And then it was really heartbreaking to see how he was beaten down.
He did such an amazing job that first episode. I mean, it's really amazing that he hasn't really had as much recognition as he should have had, I don't think, for the work that he does on the show. And especially that first episode was pretty amazing.
I still think he was beaten down more in Love Actually, but that's just me.
Emotionally,
yeah, sure. Was.
Did you see? I haven't seen it yet. Did you see the Comic Relief sketch that came out?
I saw the preview of, because I don't think they've shown the whole sketch yet.
Oh, they
haven't shown the preview
with everyone holding the cards. Right?
Yeah, it's really funny.
And Negan is, you know, I go back and forth with Negan. Like, it kills me that he does really have a moral compass, his own.
Yeah, yeah.
He does have laws and rules that you need to obey.
Yeah.
He is playing that so unbelievably well.
And don't forget, Rick's group went and killed 40 of his guys in their sleep. It's like, well, you know, and then so then he killed two of their guys, and it's just because we know Rick's group better than Negan's group that we care, you know. So that's another interesting part of the show. It's like, you know, if you followed Negan's group from the beginning, then you might be more sympathetic to them. And what's Negan's story, and why is the bat called Lucille, and like, where does it come from? You know, it's like, it asks questions of you if you want to get involved in that conversation. I know a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
They just want to go, it's Rick's group, like, we're with Rick's group. But yeah, Jeffrey's playing that part amazingly. It needed that. Like, in the comic books, he's in between. He's that guy who you love to hate kind of thing. You know, you're reading his dialogue and it's making you laugh at the same time as being really awful. I mean, I feel for Jeffrey because he has pages and pages of dialogue he has to say, and so from an acting point of view, I'm like, well, I'm kind of happy that I'm not, you know, because that's a lot of work. Like, sure. We work quite long days, and he gets these reams of dialogue. I think what he did in the finale was kind of amazing. Like, he turned up on a show and did 10 pages of dialogue and killed a couple of main characters on the show. And he's got all of the leads in the show in floods of tears. And, I mean, you've got to be that guy who comes in. And that was really tough. And I think he did a great job there. Yeah.
So when fans encounter him, like when they encounter you, you're a good guy and they want to hug you and they love you. But when you're such a bad character, do the fans still love him, or is it a guarded kind of a love?
Well, actually, I mean, he's the big hit at all of the conventions. Like,
really?
People still, it's, you know, him and Norman obviously been around for a long time, and Andy. But I mean, Jeffrey's come in and everyone, you know, loves to hate him and poses with him with the bat. The guy that gets the hardest time is Xander, actually, who plays Gregory, because, you know, he seemingly doesn't have that many redeemable
qualities on the show. I want to punch him so badly.
I know, it's so sad because, like, you know, he's Xander's so lovely and awesome. And
they should set up a punching booth at any fan convention where fans just get to take a swat at him.
No, that would be so depressing.
But we liked him at first. We thought he had everything to take care of, and then it's...
I mean, he raises the point, which is very true, that, you know, lots of people talk about how, well, I would be like this and I would be like that. But actually, you don't know what you would be like, and he's just a bit cowardly, and, like, he's...
That would be me.
You know, trying to figure out...
I would, right away, I would just lay down and say, go ahead, walk or bite me. I'm done.
A quick exit.
But then also you've got Eugene, Josh's character, who's like, what's he doing now? And it's all people dealing with the situation in different ways at the moment. And Sasha and Rosita, and everyone's trying to, you know, work it out the best way that they think.
We only have a minute, but I'm curious. I know you have a younger brother who's also an actor. Mm-hmm. What's that relationship like right now? Is there a rivalry? Are you happy for each other?
You know,
you're both doing well.
If I'm honest, it was tough at first.
Was it?
And I was like, oh, wow, this is my territory. Like, what's going on? This is my deal. But actually, no, it's wonderful now. And I'm very supportive. And he came out. He was just out in LA with me and meeting agents and managers and auditioning and stuff. And we're very different at the end of the day. Like, there's just that weird sibling thing that you will always have. But actually now we're just a bit older now, basically, and everything's awesome. And I'm really, really happy for him. Yeah.
Such a pleasure to meet you. Such a fan of the show. Cannot wait till next week with the extended season finale. Looking so forward to it.
Thank you.
Bless you, Jesus.
Wow. She turned the tables on you.
Wow.
That's Tom Payne, everybody. We'll take a quick break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Well, tomorrow's show will be something of a come down for us. No stars from Walking Dead on tomorrow's show. We had one on Friday. We had one today. So far, no stars from Walking Dead scheduled for tomorrow. That could change.
I can't believe Tom Payne came on the show knowing that the event had already ended.
I can't believe he listened to the show for a half hour in the green room and still came on the show. I was shocked by that.
You shouldn't doubt yourself so much. Have more confidence.
I'm doubting William. I'm a biblical figure. How about this? Did you see this footage over the weekend of the incredible escalator incident that took place in Hong Kong, which injured 18 people when an escalator not just reversed, but sped up?
It went pretty fast.
Very fast.
It was very crowded, as you pointed out, off the air. And everybody's on it at the same time, not knowing what's happening. So it's like everybody falls on top of everyone.
Yes.
That's how everybody gets hurt.
It's the in the escalator business, Wendy, we call this the domino principle, where one person topples, the other person topples, and it just continues and continues.
And what if it, you know, I know in the 80s we used to have like these big combs that would stick out of your pocket. What if people were, you know, doing a retro thing? You could have injuries that way.
Right.
Because you said, how could so many people get injured? It all happened on the same time. If you were on the escalator,
yeah,
you were screwed. If you were waiting to get on and you got on after seeing what was happening, you're stupid.
Right, right. If you stood there and watched the elevator, not just reverse, but speed up and said, I'm still getting on it.
I can't walk down the stairs.
I'm so lazy.
Then you deserve to be hurt.
That even with all this going on, I'm still taking that escalator. Right. Then you got what you had coming.
Right.
When I was little, I was so afraid of the then Marshall Fields, now Macy's. But for some reason, I was okay with almost every escalator. Although, you know what always disturbed me about them was that greenish glow that you would see as you were approaching the end.
I think it's blue now, but I do remember it being green because that's when you would get turned into a loaf of bread.
Yeah. If you forgot to get off of it, you think, oh, I'm going to just go into that underneath fold part where it's really bright green.
And get chopped up you go down there.
Yep. But it was the one at the downtown Marshall Fields, which seemed to me as a child, and I have nothing to back this up, it just seemed much steeper and at a weirder pace than other escalators. I don't know why I felt that, because I could ride other ones fine, but that one I used to dread when I was a kid. We'd come down at Christmas time, and I didn't want to go upstairs to see Santa Claus because I thought, if I forget to get off the escalator, I'll go into that green zone, and that'll be the end of me.
You poor little boy.
It couldn't have been that much steeper, could it? If it was a little steeper, it was just a little, but not a lot steeper.
I think you were nervous going to meet Santa. I think that's what it
Maybe.
Is. Because you weren't a very good boy, and yet you wanted to ask him for a ton of stuff.
For many things. No, I think you're right. You figured it out. Here's the story. This is what happened over the weekend in Hong Kong. Visitors to a luxury 15-story Hong Kong shopping mall. Wow, that's big.
Woodfield times 10.
Yeah. Were sent hurtling down a massive escalator when it suddenly went into reverse. At least 18 people were injured when the 40-meter escalator... Could you convert that for me, Wendy? I don't do escalator conversions.
A meter is like 3 feet.
Oh.
So
roughly 40 yards, 120 feet.
Yes.
Okay. At least 18 people were injured when the 40-meter escalator in the Langham Place Mall in Hong Kong's Mong Kok District changed direction without warning. Well, there was no warning. They don't say, hey, hold on to that handrail because wait till you see what we've got in store for you.
The reverse sounds would happen.
I didn't know that they could go in reverse or that they could speed. Did you know that what would be the practical reason to have an escalator go 5 times the normal speed? There's no reason for that.
Yeah, I didn't know there were variable settings.
I thought it was one set. It always goes this way. And it always goes this speed. That's what I thought.
They'd have to reverse it because it's much like a zipper where sometimes if they have to repair it, they'd have to run it backwards.
Oh, I guess so.
But the speed-wise, right. I don't know why it would go really quickly. To clean it, maybe?
No. Really?
I don't know.
That's not how they clean them. They use industrial strength woolite. Escalator woolite.
And a toothbrush?
Yeah, they use a toothbrush. Yep. The incident, which was caught on camera, spoiler alert, so is everything. There's nothing that isn't caught on camera anymore.
Which is good, because if you ever have a lawsuit, you will probably find someone who has video of something that happened to you.
I don't think people in Hong Kong are as litigious as we are. Do you?
They're way into electronics there.
No,
I'm sorry. About suing? No.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea. I've never even been there.
I think in Hong Kong, people go, what a crazy episode that was, and they go about their business. Like in the United States, I would sue people just for reading the story. I'd go, enough of this. Class action suit. I take escalators. I'm suing you.
You know why you're saying that? Because of the crazy game shows that they have that they don't sue anybody. You told me about these.
Crazy fun escalator challenge.
I didn't believe you, and you showed me some videos. Like, these people are really getting hurt during these game shows.
Yeah.
And there doesn't seem to be.
Nobody. It's the weirdest thing in the world. They'll do stuff like I saw a show where people drove a car into the driveway of their house, but they replaced the driveway with, like, tarp. So when they drove onto it, they plunged 8 feet down.
That's hysterical.
Everybody got to, they get out of their car and they laugh. It's the weirdest thing.
You should send the Briskman brothers over there because they'd make a killing.
Oh, they'd be the richest people in all of Hong Kong. I also always see footage, and this is a thing that happens all over Asia. Like whenever people are getting on a train, like a subway train, they have prodders. They have people with sticks like pushing them onto the train to hurry them up. Get on. You know, they like hit them with the stick. Get on the train.
Would you take the train anymore if that happened?
No. Mm-mm.
What do you're... I haven't seen
they
that.
They have that. They
Anyone
have that.
Anyone who's been on a train in Asia, please call us right now and verify.
They have that.
Kevin, you were prodded?
Well, no, I guess I wasn't in a train. Well, does Japan count?
Yeah, that's part of Asia, sure.
Is it really? I don't know, anyway.
Yeah, it's
We were... It got busy, but it wasn't to the point where they were, like, jamming people on necessarily, but I think I saw people, like, standing by, maybe in case. I don't really know.
But did you see a stick and they were pushing you in the train?
No.
They have that. You're lucky, Kevin. The prodder must have been sick
that
day.
Well, I've seen what you're talking about, though. There's, like, videos
that's
about
Disney,
there.
That's Disney Japan.
No, that's, like, everywhere in Asia. It's like, everyone wants to... Hurry up. They just have these guys, like, with... I don't know if they're electric sticks. I thought they were, but I don't think they are. But they're like prodding sticks, and it's like, get on the train, and they force them on. And it's very efficient. I don't know.
How many times have you been there?
I've never been there. I've been to Epcot. Jealous?
I've been to Epcot, too.
It's not the same.
I drank my way around the world. Like everybody does, but
we can't let Wendy Snyder back. She'll drink her way around the world.
I was with kids, so I was very good, Mickey.
I wonder.
I showed restraint.
Watch the video.
One eyewitness.
You're a peeping mouse.
You don't have no such thing as a peeping mouse. One eyewitness who was on the escalator at the time of the incident told the news outlet that it went into reverse and it was traveling 2 times faster than normal. Now, I've seen the videotape of this. It's way faster than 2 times the normal speed.
It's faster than a Benny Hill episode at the end.
They should have played that music while it was happening.
You know what? Somebody's going to put it as a meme now and put that.
Footage of the accident reveals how in one rapid maneuver, the escalator traveling toward a high floor of the mall suddenly changes directions. The sharp interchange results in a crowd of unsuspecting shoppers being upended and flung toward a pile of people at the bottom of the staircase. Now, in all the years that I have seen escalators, and that's my whole life, I've never seen that many people on an escalator. It's jam-packed with people. That's why there's so many accidents, obviously.
Isn't it like a 15-story mall you just mentioned?
Yeah, but the escalator couldn't go up 15 stories.
No, but do you have a lot of people shopping at one time?
Oh, yeah.
There was one man who was lying unconscious on the floor, and everybody piled on top of him. And 2 people are still in the hospital, but in stable condition.
That's not good. I always like when at the end of an escalator... people get off because the ride is over, and then they just stand there. I'm surprised it doesn't lead to more incidents like this one in Hong Kong.
That's when you punch someone.
That's when it's allowable.
Seriously.
Did you just punch that old lady? She just got off the escalator and stood there. I had to.
There is a little bit of something going on with revolving doors as well. When people get to the other side, they're like, well, where do you want to go? Yesterday I was at TJ Maxx looking for a rug, and God love this woman had a beautiful new baby, and she was trying to get the baby in the little buckle seat.
Yeah.
And she blocked the whole row of carts by doing that. That's when you pull a cart aside.
True.
And then you can take all the time in the world.
Right.
And then the buckle didn't work on the cart because that happened. So she did it again. And I finally just kind of said, excuse me. And I grabbed a cart and went away. I was not going to wait till she buckled the baby.
No. That's, you know, you don't have time for that.
When you go in a large building with at the end of an escalator, in a revolving door, when there are carts, realize that there are other people right. around you.
Now, in Asia, that woman would have been prodded. Somebody with a stick would have come up and forced her out of the way.
I'm going to start carrying a stick.
You should dress like Hello Kitty and have a stick.
There's your game show.
Hello Kitty Crazy Fun Stick Game. Right. People want to talk to us. We're at 312-981-7200.
I don't understand.
I don't get it. 312-981-7200. If you're on hold, stay there. We will get your calls in just a minute. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right. We told you about the story that took place over the weekend in Hong Kong. We're at a 15-story mall. A bunch of people, 18 to be exact, were injured when an escalator reversed course. It was going one way, then all of a sudden, without warning, went the other way and sped up a lot. And
it's
18
really
people
fast.
Were injured. So it reminded me about how in Asia, I've never been to Asia, but I've seen pictures of it on maps and stuff. They have prodders. They have these people that were when you're moving along doing your business, they say, you're going too slow. So they push you into trains and elevators and escalators with a big giant stick.
I never.
You don't believe me.
It just sounds so mean. Deb, you know of this?
I do. I had a friend that lived in Japan for several years teaching businessmen English. And she needed to use mass transportation train to get to work. And they called them shovers, but they would shove so many people into a train till, like, the door barely closed.
That's their whole job, is to stand at the train station yes. and push you into a train.
Yep, and they called them shovers.
How much do they get paid for that? I could be good at that.
I don't know. She said it was not a nice experience once you were in there because you could never tell whose hands were all over you.
That's awful. That's terrible. Well, thanks, Deb. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right. Escalator accidents. Carrie, you want to share with us some escalator mishaps?
Well, not mishaps. My wife is... See, I'm terrified of people movers, but I'll get to that. My wife's a nurse, and her mom was an emergency room nurse for her whole career. And my wife is terrified because her mom had stories... horrific stories about shoelaces being untied and they get stuck in the thing, and then if you can't get your shoe off, then
you go into the green light.
Bad things happen. Exactly. So my wife is we go to a store. It drives me nuts. She like triple ties her shoes and triple checks them before she gets on, and then she makes sure everything's good. And I'm like, okay, I guess your mom's seen it, but so I'm afraid of people movers because. There's one at O'Hare. I fly a lot. So there's one in Terminal 2 that goes from, like, the Hilton to the terminal. It's broken, like, 98% of the time. So there's guys working on it. And you can look down into that thing, and it's like, if this belt breaks, I'm, like, just a shredded wad of meat.
You know? Jeez. Like,
you think that every time you're at the airport?
Well, because they're always working on it. So
yeah.
It must be always broken. So there must be something malfunctioning with it, right?
I guess. Oh, no. That's terrible anxiety. Are you okay? Are you going to be okay to travel?
I'm okay with flying parts. It's the people
the
mover.
The people mover part.
That's so funny.
Wow. Well, thank you, Carrie.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Take care.
Tie your shoes. Can we talk to June?
Oh, yes.
Hello.
Hi, June.
Hi there. I got injured on an escalator when I was 15 years old. I was going to Marshall Fields to buy my mom a birthday gift.
Oh.
And what had happened, I was the only one on there, and all of a sudden it stopped and jerked, and I fell. And you know those gadgets in every step?
Yeah.
Well, I ripped my knee on that, and, we didn't sue or anything like that. I went to the nurse's aid to get Band-Aids because my knees were bleeding so bad. And we didn't do anything. And then one day somebody knocked at the door, and it was an insurance man from Marshall Fields. He had a $25 check for my injury.
Wow.
25 bucks.
You're rich.
Yeah, $25 check. And my dad said, no, we're not doing nothing. They said, oh, no, no, we want you to have this. The only thing that I got messed up was I went to an all-girls Catholic school. We had to wear nylons.
Yeah.
And my nylons were all ripped, and I never got new ones.
Oh, you should have used the $25 to buy some at Marshall Fields.
I know. Well, that was way after, you know, it happened.
Yeah.
But no, I know what it is when that escalator jerked, and I went flying.
And were you afraid to ever be on another escalator again after that? Were you?
Yes, I am. In my older age, I said, oh, no, oh, no. And whoever was with me said, don't worry, I'll get in front of you.
Oh, that's nice of them.
But anyways, that's my story.
June, and thank you.
I enjoy listening to you folks.
Oh, you're the best.
Very good.
Thank you, June.
You're very welcome, darling.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Darlings.
I'm going to travel with June, and if there is an escalator anywhere in her path, I will gladly go in front of it.
Put your coat down.
Yeah, I will do that. Chivalry's not dead.
I would like people to refer to us as darlings from now
on. That's the way we should be addressed. That's the exact correct way. All right, we must take a break. All this hard work. A break, and then some news, and then there's another show. Well, there's more show. Well, there are other shows, too. You know what I mean. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Kim Gordon, thank you so much. I have a question and then a story I'd like to share with everyone.
Sure.
How do you say sriracha? Because it's S-R-I-R. Is it sriracha,
no.
Kevin?
I think it is, yes. Yeah, sriracha, yeah.
No, that's not right. That sounds like you've been drinking.
I think it's one of those things that everybody says it differently and nobody really knows how to say it correctly.
I've always said sriracha, and I've always seen it when I've gone to Mexican restaurants or Asian restaurants just sitting there in a bottle that looks like it's been there since 1920.
Well,
that no one touched.
Days. Now it's like
everywhere.
It's the spice of choice now. But there was a time where, yeah, they would order one. If a restaurant was opening, they'd order a bottle per table and just leave it there for their whole existence. But now,
what changed?
It became like the in thing.
But it's been
it
sitting
stuff.
At a table since 1922.
I know. I don't know what changed, but it's really red hot in every sense of the word. Everybody loves it.
I like what you did there.
Yeah.
They have sriracha-flavored chips. They have sriracha-flavored Mike and Ike's.
Right.
Sriracha-flavored Honey Nut Cheerios.
Bob Sriracha did afternoons here for a number of years. Remember? He was a very nice man.
Which is perfect because he's married to a hot tamale. all right. Sriracha. I'm just saying sriracha.
Yeah. That's one of the Knights of the Round Table. The spiciest of the nights.
It's duly named the hipster condiment. It has a cult following. People buy bottles in bulk. There's memorabilia. I've seen keychains with a little bottle for your little shot of it.
So is there actual, like when you get that keychain, it's a token bottle. They don't actually put any in there, do they?
Yeah, they do.
Do they really?
You
just
can
in
refill
case of
it.
Emergencies. Yeah.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was just the bottle for
looks.
No,
there's actual liquid in there.
Like a third of an ounce?
Yeah, and then you just refill it. I'm more into Cholula, and they make little Cholula bottles that my son Michael carries in his backpack.
Wow.
You never know when you're going to need hot sauce, I guess.
In case he runs into a tamale.
Maybe.
On his way to school. The difference between the two is what?
Just flavor to me. Sriracha originated from Thailand. It's made by Hoi Fong Foods. Got to say that slowly.
Hoi Fong Foods.
Careful.
Talking about Shaft.
Shut your mouth. It's incredibly popular with sales last year reaching up to $60 million. Again, been sitting on a table.
$60
million? Yep. Although the addictive sauce is inspiration to a lot of merchandise, the CEO, David Tran, has always cared more about the quality of the product. It contains chili peppers, which are key to the delicious taste and is the fuel to the phenomenon that's going on that I'm going to tell you about.
It's too hot for me.
Is it really?
Yeah, I can't put it on stuff. One of my daughters, Kylie, Reese is like me. It's too hot for her, but Kylie puts it on everything.
It is too hot for me. Cholula is not as hot.
Yeah.
And it has a different flavor. Some sauces, in my opinion, are hot to be hot, and some have a good flavor.
Right.
I don't know that sriracha has a good flavor in my palate.
So the one that's the hotter of the two is which?
Sriracha.
Sriracha's a little
bit
hotter.
It's just like, you know, put it on your tongue, and you don't need to get it pierced.
Right.
Burns a hole in it. A study done at the University of Vermont collected data from over 16,000 people, all of whom were the age of 23.
Why?
Millennial Central.
Is that what it is?
Hipsters. They found that the consumption of Red Hot Chili Peppers was associated with a 13% reduction in mortality.
Seriously?
Especially deaths connected to heart disease and strokes. This is due to a main chemical found in most of the spicy foods we consume. I'm going to guess it's capsaicin or something similar, because I've read this study too. I will continue reading. The main chemical that attributes to this reduction in mortality is capsaicin, which is what gives spicy foods that extra kick. This chemical has been found to lower blood cholesterol levels and even help to prevent dangerous blockages of blood flow.
All right, so you live longer, but your taste buds are all burned to hell.
You get used to it.
Do you?
Do you use jardiniere on a beef sandwich?
No.
You don't eat beef sandwiches, do you?
No.
Are you American?
I am American, but I don't need stuff to be hot and spicy. Like, if it is, I'll tolerate it, but I don't go out of my way. Like, I wouldn't put extra hot sauce on things.
Oh, you got to put jardiniere on a beef sandwich, Kevin.
I'm all hot everything.
Yeah?
You go away. He mixes hot sauces. You're going to have an explosion in the office.
I got a little hot sauce cocktail.
You be careful, Kevin.
Well, you're going to be healthier than we are.
You'll outlive us.
It lowers your blood cholesterol levels. It helps to prevent dangerous blockages of blood flow. It can be found in spicy foods, this capsaicin that I speak of, such as cayenne pepper.
I think you can take, for your purposes, you can take capsaicin pills.
Yeah, they make the capsules.
Capsaicin capsules?
Yeah.
Are they shaped like my favorite cartoon friends? Because I would take those if they were.
No, they're shaped like a Red Hot Chili Pepper.
Like the band?
Yeah.
Hey,
no.
It tastes like Flea. No more, thank you.
Dirty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tastes a little salty from sweat.
Right. Yes, it would.
So cayenne pepper, jalapenos, and habanero chili peppers. Sriracha's additive sauce contains the key ingredient of chili peppers, so maybe their loyal customers are onto something.
I guess knowing you live longer is a nice benefit.
Well, if you like it, I wouldn't start doing it now.
It's too late.
What does this mean, you're wondering?
And yeah, what does this mean?
This is from AOL.com in their lifestyle segment. No, don't go chugging bottles of Tabasco and Sriracha. However, for those who were hesitant to add some spice to their meals, you now have an idea that these sauces could possibly result in a longer life. If your taste buds can bear the heat, these hot sauces are worth the investment. Beyonce had the right idea all along. I don't understand
why.
That.
Yeah, I don't know why she got dragged into it.
Because she's hot.
I can't argue that point.
Who can?
What's the thing you get in sometimes Thai food, sometimes Chinese food? That looks, it's almost like purple brown.
Shriveled black pepper?
Is that what it is? So, like, sometimes they'll put it in there, and if you touch it and then your eye, they have to take your eyes out immediately because your eyes will burn.
Okay, I ate one of those once.
What is that?
I did too.
And I literally ran to the bathroom, and it made me violently ill.
Okay, you're not really supposed to eat them, I don't
think. Well, I know. Nobody told me that.
It's just a little bit hotter than molten lava. Just a little bit hotter.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you often touch things and then touch your eye?
No, but it has happened twice accidentally. But you know what happened? All right, this was my first encounter with this. Early on in my dating life with Terry, we were eating at a Thai restaurant, and she said, "Do you like caramel?" And who doesn't like caramel? Everyone loves caramel. So I go, "I love caramel." She goes, "Try one of these caramel sticks. They're delicious." And she gave me one. And it's that thing we're all talking about. It's that hot pepper. So I put it in my mouth and I bit it and I ate it. And that was like 28 years ago, and I can still taste it now.
You're
it was
salivating the right now. You're thinking about it.
It was so incredibly hot.
Aren't those just chili peppers that they blacken?
Aren't they called like red Thai chilies or something like
that? Yeah, that sounds right. Red Thai chili, I think it is.
Those are super. Same thing. I did like I picked some up and put them on a dish, and then I like rubbed my cheek, and my cheek was hot for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Will you guys stop touching yourselves?
You could use it as an iron. Like if you had a shirt, if you were traveling, you could just take one of those red chili pepper and just put it on your shirt, and it would make it nice and smooth.
But that's even happened to me. Like I'll dice a jalapeno and not think about it, and then, you know, rub your eyes even 2 days later, and you're like,
I have done that too. I make jalapeno popper, or not poppers. They're jalapeno peppers, and you have to seed them because that's where the heat basically is.
Yes.
So as you're seeding them, you wash your hands. Somebody said you're supposed to hold an aluminum spoon in your hand, and that desensitizes
it. Is that true?
I know that gets rid of the garlic smell.
Yeah, I've heard of that. If you put your hands in your stainless steel sink, it'll also get rid of tuna fish smell or something.
Oh, wow.
Although it doesn't get rid of it from your sink, so I don't really know how that works.
No.
But it does. But yeah, you've touched, you know, a day or two later, Kim's right.
It could stay on your skin for that long, even after a regular hand
washing.
It's
the oils.
Yeah.
Maybe you should just touch chili peppers, and then you'll experience the benefits of the capsaicin without ingesting it.
I never thought of that. That's brilliant.
I've also had it, too.
It's a Monday.
I've had it, too, where, like, I'll chop jalapenos and then take my contacts out and then put them in the next morning, and it's just red. It's the worst.
Did you ever accidentally put a jalapeno back in your eye?
That's just ridiculous, Wendy.
Because Wendy will say, why does Kevin look like Popeye? And I'll go, I don't know. He's just a fan. I know why now.
All right. Well, I want to know the correct pronunciation of sriracha because I
think that's how you. That's how I always hear it.
But why is there an R in it? Sriracha.
Oh, it's silent. Because they figure your taste buds are so burned beyond recognition, you won't even know how to say they are.
All right. Well, it's good for you. That's all I wanted to say. So people who are into hot sauce.
They'll live forever.
Smoke them if you got them, yeah. I guess. Smoke your tongue if you can.
Right. More after this. Give us a call if you like. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
We were talking about capsaicin, and that is something that you will find in a red hot chili pepper, which you will find in sriracha hot sauce. They all have different flavors. Tabasco, I don't really like the flavor of either.
Too, all of it. I mean, if you love spices, this stuff is perfect, but...
But you need flavor with it, not just, you
right,
know...
Right, not hot for the sake of hot. Right.
We were talking about... Bill mentioned the black peppers that are in Thai food that if you touch them and then touch your eye, it hurts.
Your eye will disintegrate. I've seen it happen.
Kevin was cutting up some jalapenos and then tried to put his contacts in, and it bothered his eye. I don't know why we didn't think of this, Pam.
Hi. Yeah, I use rubber gloves. If I run out of the white kind that are almost like medical gloves, I just use my Playtex rubber gloves. But you can buy, instead of going to like Walgreens or something, buying a big box of medical gloves.
Yeah.
In Walmart, in their cleaning aisle where they have sponges and the Playtex rubber gloves and mops and stuff, you can buy like a 10-pair pack for like a buck or two.
You know where they should sell those? They should sell them right next to the hot sauces in that same aisle.
That's a good idea,
right?
Yeah.
Just put up a display right there.
Yeah, I just keep them under my the packet of gloves. I keep it under my kitchen sink, and whenever I'm working with hot peppers and stuff, I just put them on, and then you just peel them off and throw them away.
Very smart. Did you have an incident? Is that why you're using gloves? Did you ever burn yourself?
No, but no. I read about it or heard about it a long time ago, and I've just always used them.
Yep.
And it works.
You're smart. Well, thank you. We appreciate the call.
Sure, no problem.
I'll get you some gloves.
I have, on two different occasions, I have touched something. And then, you know, I rub my eye because, like, a cartoon character every once in a while,
yeah.
If I see something I don't believe, I rub my eyes to see if it's real, and it burns.
Yeah, you got to be careful about that. I think I'm saying jalapeno, aren't I? Somebody says I'm saying jalapeno. Hi, is this Javier?
Yeah.
I did not say jalapeno.
No.
Jalapeno.
That's a tree.
Right. It's jalapeno. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Like Peña Nieto, like the Mexican president.
Yes.
So anyway, you guys talk about the peppers. I mean, in my family, we have nieces and nephews who are like 6 and 7, and they, like, when we have dinner, they have jalapenos, and we cut them in slices, and they eat them raw, you know? So,
wow.
Can I ask you, honestly, Javier, do you get used to them? Because it seems like years ago, I couldn't eat, you know, if you go to a Mexican restaurant, and they have the carrots and the jalapenos and the garlic. I couldn't eat those before, and now I love them, and I can't get enough of them. Do you get...
You develop a taste, just like beer, just like, you know, certain candies, just like certain vegetables. You know, I mean, but, I mean, I personally don't eat the hot stuff. I can't, because I'm very light-skinned, and I get all red and flushed. So,
oh, wow.
I look like, you know, a wimpy tourist, but... But at any rate, so one of the good ways to kind of wean yourself on this stuff, like when you make, let's say, for instance, if you're making like a guacamole at your house, something like that, you buy the jalapenos in a can with the juice in it, and then in the hot guacamole, you pour a little bit of water to prevent it from blackening, which is something a lot of people don't know.
I thought it was lime juice that prevented it from blackening.
That only prevents the inside, not the top.
Oh. But anyway,
water is better than lime juice for this.
Exactly.
Okay.
So then the jalapenos juice that's in the can, you can just pour a little tiny bit and then mix it up and to your liking, and that'll kind of, you know, that way you can control the heat. And as time goes on, you're going to find yourself putting more and more, because a lot of people don't like the jalapeno in the guacamole because you bite it and like, oh my God, I just bit a pepper. But with the juice, you know, you can kind of, it's a consistent consistent spice that, you know, you can set up the tolerance level to.
And then rub your eyes as soon as you're done with it. Still don't rub your eyes. All right.
Dude, what's with the eye rubbing? Come on.
He's sleepy all the time.
I'm going to start wearing mittens all the time, 24 hours a day.
Start rubbing your knees or your neck or something, like, or like the girl SNL under your armpits, you know?
All right.
Mary Catherine Gallagher, is that who that was?
Superstar. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Javier, thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
Yes.
Bye.
And one more call on this, Sandy. Hey, Sandy.
Hi, how are you?
We're great.
Good. You know what, sriracha? There's nothing wrong if you like hot foods, but why do people who enjoy it, they, by the time you're in the middle of the meal, they act like their mouth is on fire?
Right.
Why? If you want to put some on it, that's great, but put on what you can handle. Then they're like, you know, blow it out of their mouth. It's like, what do you do? We look like...
Don't be surprised by it. It's hot sauce. You know what you're getting.
Exactly. That's my point. It's like, how much do you have to really put on it?
I don't know, but I've been out with people. And actually, like I said, my daughter Kylie is one of them. She just keeps adding more and more and more and more throughout the meal. And it's already burning hot. How hot can you get? I'm with you.
Thank you, Sandy.
At some point, do they act like their eyes are watering? It's like, why do you put yourself through that? Is that enjoyment?
Yeah, that's a good question. And Kylie doesn't look like that. Her eyes aren't watering or anything. She enjoys it.
Right.
But I know what you mean. There are some people that are just trying to show that they're tougher, but really, it's not a pleasure to eat across the table from them.
Nope. Uh-uh.
Thank you, Sandy. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Sandy.
All right. Well, that about does it. Capsaicin is also a pain patch made from the peppers.
That's where I know it from. Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of that. So it's
put it on your eye. They make eye patches.
I'd look like a sad pirate.
You would be
like,
a sad pirate.
I would be a sad pirate. All right. Stick around. There's more ahead. Bill and Wendy, WGN.